This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah. But see, as far as the Aqidah is concerned, Aqidah is the Arabic word for creed. Creed is the basic fundamentals which we believe, by believing which and acting on which we become Muslim. And if we stop believing it or we act contrary to that, opposite of that, then you leave Islam. This is the very brief description of or definition of what Aqidah is. So Aqidah is extremely important because all our amal, all our actions, amal is action, amal is actions, plural. So all our amal are rewarded based on who we did it for. Right? If I go and wash Waris's car and I come to you and say, pay me for washing the car, you will say, which car? So I wash Waris's car. So go to Waris. Why are you coming to me? You didn't wash my car. No, you should pay me. Why won't pay? Why should I pay? You did work for him, go ask him. Now, very, very fundamentally, this is the issue. So if I worship Allah and I do whatever I do for the sake of Allah, for His pleasure, then I can go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Ya Rabbi, I did this for you. Reward for me. But if I did this for anyone else, and that anyone else can be any of the gods or any of the creatures that are worshipped as gods, because they are actually not gods. Some of them are living or who lived like Jesus and so forth. Some of them are not living. Some of them are mythological figures and so forth. Whoever they might be, anyone other than Allah. We say, Masib Allah. Something other than Allah. If I'm doing it to please them, it may be a good thing. For example, I'm feeding the poor. You say, what's wrong with that? Nothing wrong with that. Please, go ahead. Right? I'm doing some good thing. But I'm doing it for the pleasure of that entity, and that entity is not Allah. Then I cannot go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the reward. It doesn't work. Same example. And then on the day of judgment, when we go to those, the ones that we, Nabi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they will go to those they used to worship. So when you go to the one you worship, you might find that, for example, you might say mythological figures, it doesn't even exist. Who are they worshipping? In the case of people like Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, or you know, whoever, Isa alayhi salam would say, get out of here. I mean, I didn't ask you to worship me. So how come you're worshipping me? Who told you to worship? I did not say I'm God. I did not say I created the world. So that is the reason why Aqidah is extremely important. Now, Aqidah begins with knowing who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And that's why we have the book that we very kindly printed, Aqidah al-Tahawiyya. Imam al-Tahawi, rahmatullah alayhi, was the one who tabulated it and put it down in this easy book to understand. It begins with Tawheed. The fundamental of Aqidah is La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And this is, we know La ilaha illallah as Tawheed, which is the wahdaniyat, the oneness, the uniqueness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with whom there are no partners in anything. There are no partners of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship. There are no partners of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in creation. There's no partners of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in seeking help. There's no partners of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in seeking anything we need in life, such as children, spouses, money, influence, whatever. No partners. It's only and only Allah. That's why we say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There's no one who has any irada, any ability to to decide or to do something. Wala quwata. And there's no quwat. There's no force. There's no force. There's no power. There's no authority. Illa billah, except with Allah. So this is the fundamental of Tawheed, that only and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now for the sake of, we start with Tawheed fi uluhiyat, that is the wahdaniyat of Allah, the uniqueness and oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His worship. Right? So for example, on a side note, many times people ask you, what do Muslims believe in? And many people will say, Muslims believe in one God. Right? Is that answer right or wrong?
Partially.
Two? One God? Yeah. So if somebody says, I believe only in Jesus, nobody else. One God. I believe only in Ganesha, nobody else. One God. Is that person a Muslim? I believe one God. So Muslims do they believe in one God?
Yeah, but like, I guess it depends like what you're talking about.
Like what?
When we say we believe in one God, we're talking about the creator out there that has no image, that's doesn't have any children, family, whatever, and like, yeah. So we're not saying, it can't just be anyone.
There's so, for example, I say, well, I have this image in my mind of this God who has no family, no children, no nobody. He is one. Is that person Muslim?
No.
Why not?
Because he has to believe in Allah. And
Exactly. What you described is not wrong. What you describe as some of the attributes of Allah. But these belong to whom? Allah has an identity, you know. Allah is not just something. Somebody who has no substance, no name, no, then does He exist? No. You're saying Allah. Muslims are those who believe only in Allah. Not just one God. Only in Allah. Allah happens to be one. That's a different issue. But only in Allah. And who is Allah? These things you said. He is unique, He is alone, He has no attributes like anything in creation, He has no children, and so on and so forth, right? So all of these things are attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we believe in Allah. So understand this very, very clearly. Muslims don't believe in one God, they believe in Allah. Who is Allah? He is one. So we come to the one, but we believe in Allah. To believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has an identity. Allah is Allah. Allah is not something you imagine. No, Allah is Allah. Allah exists. So we believe in Allah who is one. Huwa al-ahad. Alladhi huwa samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. Wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. He is the one. He is alone. He is unique. There is no one like Him. He has no partners. He needs nothing, everything needs Him. He was neither born, nor did He give birth to anything. He was not begotten, and neither did He beget, meaning He has no parents, and He has no children. Allah always was. There was no time before Allah. And this is the problem with every other God that people worship. There is a date of birth. Either it's an exact date of birth or it's an imaginary date of birth or whatever. But there is a date of birth. Meaning, yeah, well. So, if there is a date of birth, I always tell people, anyone who has a date of birth cannot be God. For a very simple reason. What's that reason? If there is a date of birth, it means that there was a world before that day. The date of birth is not the date of creation of the earth or universe. It's some point in the... So that means this earth and this universe existed without this God until He was born. So then how is He God? If it can exist without Him, then He is an incident in the life of the earth. So Allah is not this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always was. هو الحي القيوم. And he will always remain. هو الأول والآخر. He is the first and he is the last. There is nothing before Allah and there is nothing after Allah. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very, very important for us to understand this very clearly, keep it strongly in our mind and ensure that when you, for example, when you're standing in Salah, Allahu Akbar, bring this awareness, this is tazar, which is knowledge that this is the one I'm worshipping. The one who is alone, the one who is unique, the one who is always there, nothing before him, nothing after him. He will not end, the world will end. The linsu wal jinnu yamutun, the humans and the jinn will die, only Allah will remain. Kullu man alayha fan, wa yabqa wajhu rabbika zul jalali wal ikram. Everything in the creation will die, only Allah will remain. All of this we must try to be aware of as we pray. So this is one piece of Tawheed, which is Tawheedul Uluhiyah. So Tawheedul Uluhiyah is to worship no one other than Allah. Now worship consists of several things. One is the formal worship, which is Salah. So we don't bow, we don't make sajda to anyone other than Allah. Even if it is not sajda in Salah, if it is generally sort of sajda haram in Islam. No. You don't put your face on the ground for anyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you, He made ikram for you, He gave you dignity and honor as a human being. Karramna bani Adam, Allah said, we have given dignity to the children of Adam alayhi salam. So you do not bring that dignity down before anyone other than Allah. Because Allah gave you the dignity, therefore it is His right that you prostrate to Him, but not anybody else. So that's one part of Tawheed. The second part of Tawheed also is that we don't seek help from anyone other than Allah. So making dua to anyone other than Allah is haram, it is shirk. So somebody says, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Muhammad, Ya Ghawsi Azam, Ya Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, Ya Ali, all equally wrong. So Ya Allah, Ya Allah. She said, Ali, did he say? What did he say? What would he say? You are saying, yeah, Ali. So he must say what? Yeah, myself. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Obviously, he didn't say that, no? I mean, he said, yeah, Allah. So when he said, yeah, Allah, how come you say, yeah, Ali? Or how come you say, yeah, Ghaus? Or you say, yeah, Muhammad? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to ask Allah and nobody else. He didn't say, ask me. He didn't say, ask Allah through me. No. Ask Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ud'uni. He said, ask me. Astajib lakum. I will accept your dua. So, yeah.
So when people say, pray for me, like, you're obviously praying to Allah, but like making dua for them.
Correct. Absolutely. That's fine.
Yeah.
No problem. So pray for me means you make dua for me. Yes. This is a good thing to say to each other, to, you know. Alhamdulillah. And if you make dua, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when a person makes dua for their brother or sister, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints an angel to make the same dua for them. And the dua of the angel is more accepted. So when you make dua for your friend, your family and so on, alhamdulillah, very good. But people, for example, they go to, you know, the graves of so-called saints or whatever, dargahs and maqams, and they will stand there and all this is haram, all this is shirk, this is just is idol worship. There's no difference. The many Muslims who criticize Hindus, how can you worship a stone? How come you worship a grave? What's the difference? I mean, the stone is vertical, the grave is horizontal. That's the only, what else is the difference? Both are wrong. Both are shirk. Both are open shirk. Worship Allah. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody else. So this is the first and fundamental part of Tawheed, which is called Tawheedul Uluhiyat, the Tawheed in the worship of Allah, Tawheed of Uluhiyat, which is the Wahdaniyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship. Second part of Tawheed, which we will talk about, is Tawheed fi Rububiyat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabbul Alameen. He is the Rabb of the all creation, all the worlds. So who is Rabb? The meaning of the word Rabb, English translation, it will be translated as Lord. Lord or Lordship is one small piece of Rabb, but it's not, doesn't really, translate the word correctly. Because a Lord, basically, if you look at it in the context of the meaning, a Lord is someone who has superior authority over you. No? Somebody is a... So this in America, you don't have that, but in Britain and other places, you had somebody who is a Lord. I mean, you have to like... Sindh Vadera Uthamath. So you got a Vadera, you got a Thakur, you got a Mirza, you got somebody who is a prince or something. So he has so many thousand acres of land, he's got 50 villages. So he is the ruler over all this. So he's the lord of that land. Allah is not like this. The issue of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sultan, his sultanate, his kingdom has no boundaries. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rules over everything. So the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rububiyat, the sifa of rububiyat, which makes Allah Rabbul Alameen, is to take something which is incomplete, which is small, which is imperfect, and develop it and nurture it stage by stage to a stage of perfection. Shay naqis ko batadrij, shay darje kamal ko pahunchana. In Urdu we say this. So something which is naqis, batadrij meaning by darja, take it to a state of perfection. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, we were naqis. You are developing us, you are giving us opportunities. Take us to the stage of what's perfection as far as we are concerned, to go into Jannatul Firdaus. It's perfection, inshallah. So we ask Allah for this, Ya Allah, give us this. To take something which is imperfect by stage. Now if you think about that, therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his sifat of rububiyat as the Rabbul Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is responsible for and gives us, meaning human beings, meaning all creation, everything that they need. There's nothing that Allah does not give. Everything. So our health, our wealth, our influence and power and authority and you name it, comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we say, Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. We worship only you and we seek help only from you. So seeking help, because He is the only one who gives it. We worship only you and we seek help only from you. So sifat rububiyat in uluhiyat, we do not join partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship. In terms of rububiyat, which is also part of Tawheed, we don't join partners with Allah in seeking help for anything. We ask only Allah. Right? Now you might say, well, okay, this we understand, but for example, if you want some water now, what should you do? Can I ask you, can you get me some water? Can I do that or this is shirk? What do you think?
I
can ask. Because the person I'm asking is sitting right here in front of me. He's a living individual. I can ask him. But supposing I argue with you and say, okay, so I can ask Waris who's here. But therefore, why can't I go to a grave of some good person who passed away? I'm not asking that person to help me. I am telling that person, please make dua to Allah for me to get this and that. Is that permissible? No. It's not. Because that is a different world. The alam al-barzakh, the world behind the wall, literally. Literally, it means al-barzakh is behind the wall. The alam al-barzakh, the world of the qabr, is a different world. There's no communication between that world and our world. So when you go and stand there and you're saying, give me this, give me that, or make dua for me to get this or that, first of all, it is illogical because there is no communication between the two worlds. Secondly, it's illogical because whoever you go to, that person doesn't know you. He did not know you in his life. How will he know you when you are dead? When he's dead? Third thing is, you are probably going to be speaking in a language that he never spoke. So how come he suddenly understands English or Urdu or Punjabi or whatever, you know? Right? You go to the grave of somebody who's Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, he's in Baghdad. He was an Arab. He spoke only Arabic. He didn't speak Punjabi. Now you go there and say, ask him in Punjabi, give me this or give it. How does that work? Right? So that is the reason why we say Islam is a very logical religion. So apart from the belief part of it, also logically it makes no sense. That first of all, you're talking to somebody who's dead. They're not there in front of you. And secondly, they don't know you. They never knew you. How are they going to recognize? Who are you? Third thing is that you are speaking to them in a language which they never spoke in their lives. Now, if you, any of these, for you want to say, okay, I'll ask the same thing in Arabic. Still the same thing. He still doesn't know you. So you say, you're speaking in Arabic. And Allah said, you cannot make those who are in their graves to hear you. So they can't, he can't hear you. So what are you talking to the world? So in terms of rububiyyat, therefore, to seek help from anyone other than Allah in the unseen, unperceivable realm. Transactionally asking a person who is there for help, no problem. But in the other world, in terms of the akhirah, in terms of the ghaib, to ask for help is open shirk, is haram. Not permissible. A dalil for this, and this is dalil also for what you asked me before. Can you ask somebody to make dua? In the time of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, there was a drought. And they decided to go and pray Salatul Istisqa, the prayer for rain. So Sayyidina Umar took all the people outside of Medina and he led the salah. They prayed. After they prayed, Sayyidina Umar requested radiallahu anhu, requested Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu, the uncle of Rasulullah, to come, and they made a small member there, a little platform. So he asked him to stand on this member and you make dua for rain. And so then Umar raised his hand and he said, Ya Rab, when your Nabi was among us, we used to ask him to make dua for rain. Now your Nabi is no longer among us. So we are asking the uncle of the Nabi, the Am of the Nabi, to make dua. Please accept his dua. Al-Abbas made dua radiallahu anhu, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent rain. Now the question to ask is, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, did he not know where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was buried? Of course he knew. Because he's buried next to him. Right? He knew. So how come he or the others just didn't go to the grave and say, Ya Rasulullah, please make dua for rain? They knew where the grave was. Why does he say, when he was with us, we used to ask him, now he is no longer with us? So how do you say that? He is with you. How is he with you? He is not with you. He is with Allah. He is in the alam al-barzakh. Right? So the reason I am giving you this is because this is a dalil in deen. This is the action of one of the Khulafa Rashida. It's an action of a person who learnt the deen at the feet of Rasulullah directly from him. So his action becomes a dalil, becomes a piece of evidence in our religion. So of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, Udoni, ask me, don't ask anyone. And we have the action of the Sahaba also who did not do that. Tawhidul Rububiyat. Tawhidul Uluhiyat. Tawhid Rububiyat. The last one is Tawhid al-Asma wa Sifat. The Tawhid in the names and the attributes of Allah. Tawhid is one. We don't have three Tawhids. Three one. But just to explain it, we usually split it into these three categories so it's easier to understand. So Tawhid fi Asma wa Sifat. Meaning that even though, for example, you say, does Allah see and does He hear? What's the answer? Yes or no? Yes. Allah Himself said, who was Sami ul Basir? He is the one who sees and who hears and sees. Sami ul Basir. Does Allah know? Yes, He knows. Who alimum bi zati sudur? He knows what's in the hearts. Right? Does He speak? Yes, He speaks. Hu al kalim. He speaks. He has kalam. Biyadi al khair, in His hand there is only goodness. So even though we use these and other such terms, these are used in the Quran, they are used in the Sunnah as well. We use them because there is no other way of expressing it. So we use the language. But the key thing to understand is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's seeing is unlike our seeing. Allah's hearing is unlike our hearing. Allah's knowing is unlike our knowledge. At a very basic level, what is behind my back, I can't see. I'm seeing, I'm not blind, but what's behind my back, I cannot see. I don't know what's going to happen 5 minutes from now. So I have knowledge of my present, something of the past, which I remember because even the past I will forget. Future, zero. At best, I can guess and say, this might happen, that will it surely happen? We don't know. Control? Yes, we have control over some things. But Allah's control is over every single thing. So in terms of the Asma and Sifat of Allah, Tawheed of Asma and Sifat is to believe that the names and attributes of Allah belong to Allah only. And they belong to Allah in a way which suits and which is in keeping with His majesty and grace. They don't belong to Him the way they, not those attributes, but what the factors that the attributes point to belong to us. For example, I see, you see, there's no semblance of a comparison between my seeing and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's seeing. So to understand this very clearly. Another thing is that there are certain things which are specific only to Allah. Certain name, for example, Allah, for example, is a name, is only Allah. You can't say, I have a child, I will call him Allah. No. Because, you know, I love Allah so much, so why can't I call my child Allah? No, you cannot. So what must I call him? Abdullah. Abd of Allah. Now this usually people do. Nobody names their child Allah. They always call him Abdullah. But Rahman, for example, people name their children just Rahman. This is also not permitted. You have to name the child Abdul Rahman and call the child Abdul Rahman. People say, oh, Rahman bhai idhar aaiye. No, Rahman bhai, Rahman is Allah. Right? So it is, there are some specific names where, first of all, blanket rule, all the Asma'ullahi Ta'ala, all the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the preferred thing is to write before the name to use Abd. Abdullah, Abdul Rahman, Abdul Rahim, Abdul Razzaq, Abdul Wahid, right? Abdul Khaliq, all Abd. So it's this is very important. These are some very basic rules of the Tawheed of the Asma'ullahi Ta'ala, Tawheed of the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Alright, so this is a sort of broad view of one aspect of Aqidah, of Tawheed. Any questions one before we close? Yeah.
So my day was hobby, and whenever I see someone like, you know,